I want to speak this morning on marriage, singleness, and ministry. And maybe we can learn some things here from 1 Corinthians 7 that would be a help to us. I really would like to read the entire chapter because there's so much here for us to think about. But I'm just going to begin this morning by starting in verse 7 and just read a couple verses. Paul says, "For I wish that all men were even as myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them that they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion." Marriage, singleness, and ministry. Interesting concept, isn't it? Paul writes in this whole section actually starts in verse 1, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me." He is writing in this section to answer questions that individuals in the church has written to him. We can kind of guess what maybe some of those questions might be. Maybe in light of what he writes about here in chapter 7, maybe the questions would be something like this: which is more a part of the spiritual elite, the single or the married? Or maybe they were asking questions like this: who can be more effective in ministry, singles or married? Well, whatever the questions were, Paul is responding to a lot of different issues in this text. But certainly as he responds to those questions, he does raise up the issues of marriage, singleness. He also deals with parents and what is their role and responsibility in encouraging their children to marry? Or would it be wiser to encourage them not to marry? So we got a lot of things going on here, and I'm not going to look at all of them this morning. But as we look at the responses that Paul gives here, there are three issues that I would like to talk about this morning from this text. One, I want us to realize in verse 7 that regardless of what we find in the text and what Paul is saying, he makes it very clear to us in verse 7 that whether you are single or whether you are married, that both are a gift of God. I wonder how often we think of our state in that way. In fact, I very seldom hear of marriage as a state, as a gift from God. It's not often how we hear about it. If we take it out from that, if we remove it from what Paul says here, that is that marriage is a gift, and if we don't see it that way, then it immediately interprets how we understand those who are single, as I will just refer to in a moment. Paul is writing in this text, obviously, to destroy, to answer, to respond to some of the erroneous practices that are going on. And by the way, I think it is very interesting that Paul talks about this relationship, whether it be the responsibility of singleness or the responsibility of the married, that he refers to them as a gift when he has written to this church probably more than any other, talking about gifts, spiritual gifts and the responsibility. If there was ever a church that was far from practicing any of those gifts in the most biblical way, it was the church at Corinth. And if there was any church that was practicing their gift of marriage and singleness in the most debauched way, it was the church at Corinth. And Paul is writing concerning some of those erroneous ways of thinking about what was right, what is acceptable. You got in chapter 5, a man sleeping with his stepmother. You've got a church who, in fact, honors that, who has a skewed view of what grace and mercy is, and thinking that by accepting that, they were accepting this great God of grace and mercy who does not just bring fire and brimstone upon this couple, but actually has allowed it to go on, and just a skewed view of what is happening. There were those on the other side of the fence who looked at that situation and said that sexuality and marriage ought not to go together, that actually there should not be sexual relationships within the marriage, reacted really off to the opposite direction. Paul boldly declares, as he faces those kinds of issues, we've got to think about marriage and we've got to think about singleness as a gift bestowed by God. We have a lot of misconceptions today about these two issues. I think we tend not to think of marriage as a gift, but I think we tend to think of marriage maybe somewhat in this way. I think we tend to think of marriage as those who can actually get there, who actually can find a mate, and they actually walk down the aisle and they say, "I do," and they marry, that they have some kind of magical charisma, some unique ability to draw the opposite sex to themselves. And so marriage is put sort of, you know, as the elite. I've acquired, you know, I've obtained, I've been able to do it. Now think about it, if we think about marriage in that way, and I would say I'm not very far off from how people think about marriage. If I think about marriage that way, where does that put the single individual? Which is another skewed way of thinking about singleness. And it puts them at a lower level. That is not how Jesus refers to it. In fact, I find it very interesting in Matthew 19, and I'm not preaching from that text this morning, but let me quickly refer to it. You remember the Pharisees are questioning Jesus concerning divorce, and Jesus relates to them what the scriptures say. They wanted to argue Moses' argument. Jesus, it's almost like Jesus is saying, "I'll argue Moses' argument with you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And he relates to them what the scriptures teach there. And the disciples are standing listening to this. The crowd breaks up. They go into a room. And the disciples bring up the issue again. Is this, make this clear to us. I'm not sure we really understand what you're saying. And Jesus reiterates what he had said. And the disciples' conclusion was, it doesn't sound to us like anybody can do marriage. That it would be better not to marry. It would be better to be single. And then Jesus tells them, well, singleness is not for everybody. And then he goes on to tell us of the eunuchs in Matthew 19. And what he's saying there is that singleness is a decision out of strength. In fact, and Paul would say, actually, it's more than that. It's a gift of God. And it is for some, and it is not for others, because it's a gift of God. So Paul thinks about it very differently than we tend to think about it. Jesus certainly talked about it differently than we normally think about it. And so we tend to think that then what we need to do, those of us who are married, what we need to do is everything we possibly can to get all singles married so they can join the elitist crowd. And if you don't think that's true, eavesdrop on married people, especially when we have our spring banquet, and hear how they talk. You know, that somehow that would be, you know, then you could fit in. You would be part of the higher status rather than being a misfit. I think it's a wrong way to think about our position. I am not married because I have some great magical charisma, and you're not single because you're some kind of a misfit. We are where we are because it is a gift of God. But given that gift, I think Paul goes on here and he helps us understand then that in those positions we both have ministry responsibilities. And these are very crucial issues for us to take into consideration. They're very important. And by the way, I would say to those of you who are married that most pastors who fall because, or it is at least connected to or related to the fact that they've not done a very good job of maintaining the ministry of marriage that God has given to them. And most singles who fall into impurity, it's because they have a wrong view of who they are and a wrong view of their responsibilities before God. So we both have ministry responsibilities that we need to take seriously. I would say Paul argues for this when he says in verse 19, notice he says, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. And by the way, in verses 17 through 24, Paul sort of digresses from the marriage motif, the single motif, but he brings everybody into the argument and he says, listen, whatever is your state at this point in time, don't change it. That is not your responsibility to change it in order to have effective ministry for the Lord. If you're a slave, be a slave. After all, every believer is a slave anyway. If you're not circumcised, don't get circumcised. If you're circumcised, don't try to undo the circumcision. You ought to live out your life in the state in which you are. And I think what he is saying to us here in verse 19, that every one of us has a responsibility, whether single or married, to do our ministry in obedience. There is no justification in any circumstance to disobey any other the clear commands and clear teachings of God as it pertains to marriage, as it pertains to our singleness, or as it pertains to any other aspect of our life. We are still responsible to live out our lives in biblical obedience. And I think also Paul is arguing here in this text that not only in obedience, but also in contentment. Now, let me just talk a little bit about this. Paul says in Philippians that he learned that whatever state he was in, there would be content. And what I don't want to say here is that contentment is sort of the barometer to help us to determine whether singleness is our gift or marriage is our gift. Because the gift is a gift. There is nothing you've done to earn it. There is nothing you can do to obtain it. It is a gift from God. It's like the spiritual gifts. So this is, I think Paul is saying, if you thought you brought something to the table here concerning this state that you're in, you're wrong. It's purely of God. So contentment then cannot be the barometer of determining whether I should be single or whether I should be married. We tend not to want to use contentment when it comes to marriage because that backs us into a corner, doesn't it? What if I'm not content in my marriage? Then what am I supposed to do? Divorce? Well, of course not. Then how can contentment and singleness be the barometer for staying single for the rest of your life? But let me also say this, that if you are single, that is your gift. And you say, well, that's a tension that's difficult to deal with. And if you're married, that is your gift. So we've got to talk about those, and I will in just a moment. But contentment is necessary to live in those relationships or in that state in which we find ourselves, to live in such a way that we are living out our lives in obedience to the Word of God and living out our lives in contentment, realizing that God has put me in this state, in this place, at this time as a gift to serve Him and to serve Him effectively. And that's what we need to be doing. But we also need to understand this. Paul says in verses 26 and 29 that whether you are single or whether you are married, we both need to look at our state in this way, that this is only for a brief time. Notice in verse 26, and Paul puts all of this within the understanding of the parousia, I believe. I think that's what he's talking about here in verse 26. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress. I don't think Paul is necessarily talking about the struggles that he was going through at that time or that the church at Corinth was going through in the persecution as believers. I don't think that's what he's primarily referring to, though it's part of it. But if he's only referring to the Corinthians and their suffering and his personal suffering in ministry, then really what he is saying here has little to do with us if we are not suffering. I think he's taking something else more in view here. I think he's talking about I think he's taking not so much a chronological view here of life, but he's taking a theological view. He's talking about what we would normally think of as from the time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the second coming of the Lord. In that time, it's very brief. It's very short. You say, well, it's not real short. There have been a lot of people who have married and died and or married and had children, and they've died, and their children have married, and they've died, and they've, you know, and it goes on and on and on. How can it be short? It's short because it's imminent. We stand here today and realizing that we may not even have all of today to actually fulfill the ministries that are given to us, the responsibilities of propagating the gospel. How much time do we have left? Paul says it's imminent. The time is short. Marriage may be short. in the sense that one of us dies. That God takes one or the other in that relationship. And now all of a sudden, what was the gift of marriage all of a sudden becomes the gift of singleness again. Life is short. And Paul is arguing here that as whether we are single or whether we are married, we both need to understand, and it is our responsibility to understand, that time is really short. He says the same thing in verse 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. What does he mean by that? What is he saying here in these verses 29 and following? I think he's saying this, that the responsibilities that are given to us in this world, and he's going to talk about the world a lot in this text, the responsibilities that we have in this world, we ought to hold on to lightly. Not carelessly, not disobediently, but lightly. I think to the single as well, that you hold on to singleness lightly. It is a gift of God. Marriage is a gift of God. But it does not usurp the primary responsibilities that God has given to us here in this short time of ministry. And we need to realize that. We need to understand that. We have a responsibility. We have ministry responsibilities. But I think also, Paul is saying to us, we both have unique ministries. And Paul delineates this in verses 32 and following. He says, I want you to be without care. The idea there is without to be overly concerned. That's why I say hold on to this relationship lightly. You can't be so overly concerned with your relationship in marriage, with your relationship in family, that you miss what is primary in your life. Be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how we may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world. And that is not a sinful thing. It's the world system. It's the world state of things. It's just the way it is. It's the way it is when you're married. You have responsibilities. It is the way it is when you have a family. You have family responsibilities. But Paul is saying we ought to hold to those things lightly, or maybe I should put it the other way. Don't clasp onto them so tightly that there's no room there for you to have the kind of ministry that God wants you to have. And I have seen so many, and I'm frankly, it's one of my concerns, I have seen so many go through Central Seminary, get out of seminary, and cannot let go, unclasp or let loose marriage and family enough in order to have effectual ministry. And Paul is saying you need to hold lightly onto this, and you can do that and still fulfill your responsibilities of marriage and family. And I find singles do the same thing. We all do the same thing because we are so self-centered. And we are so enamored with me and my life and my relationships that we forget that there's something bigger going on here. Singles are less encumbered, Paul says, with the world. In what way? Well, singles are less encumbered in this sense. They're free from marriage. And what I mean by that is that you don't have that responsibility of building oneness with the opposite sex. And if you take my class on marriage, you'll find out that oneness is a laborious part of marriage in that, not boring, but it's work. It takes a lot of hard work to develop oneness. You put two sinners together, and oneness is not natural. You take a body of believers and put them into a local church setting, and Paul calls for unity and oneness in that body. Do you find that to be easy? What we find in that body life is all the people that we don't really care about, people we find it hard to like, people we find it hard to fellowship with. It's hard to build oneness. Married couples are commanded to build oneness. You are not. There's a sacrifice of time in marriage that you don't have to sacrifice for. You are freer to do the things that you want to do, to go when you want to go and be where you want to be when you want to be, in a sense. Married couples cannot have that. They don't have that time. They aren't as free to do that. You don't have the sacrifice of energy where you walk into your home. You don't have someone that you have to be relating to and care about and meeting needs there and so forth, and the energy of time. Now, none of these things are sinful or bad. Paul makes it very clear. Marriage is not sinful. But you are freer. And I know sometimes singles don't like to hear that, and I don't want to overemphasize this to think that, well, yeah, you can just go any place you want and do whatever you want whenever you want to. No, you have responsibilities. I understand that. But Paul is saying that you are freer in this world than those who are married. And you have the lack of the sacrifice of resources. Somebody says two could live cheaper than one. I don't think that's a very true saying. I read just recently someone has said the cheapest thing in marriage is the marriage license, and after that, hang on. I don't know if two can live cheaper than one. We have the sacrifices of resources. They have to the same amount of income has to spread out over numbers of people and numbers of responsibilities. You're freer in that you're free from marriage. You're freer also because you're freer from the world. Notice what he says in verse 34 and verse 35. He says there is a difference between a wife and a virgin. Understanding that I take that virgin there to be the what we would normally call someone who's engaged. They're not married. Okay, and he's making the contrast between, I would say, the contrast between the married woman and the single woman. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now again, Paul is not saying this is a positive, negative thing. He's just saying this is the state of your being. By the way, Paul is not also saying here that if you're single, it is much easier for you to be spiritual. And if you're married, it's more difficult for you to be spiritual. That isn't what he's saying. He's just saying this is the state of things. This is just the way it is. And so you're freer from the world, not worldliness. That's not how Paul's using this, but from living here upon planet Earth. You're freer. Paul's argument here, as I said, centers around the parousia, this short period of time. And I think what Paul is calling all of us to is a moderate and disciplined way that will not hinder us on our journey of doing what is most important. And that is the focus of ministry. And you can define that in a lot of different ways. I'm not necessarily talking about the pastorate, the mission field, and so forth. I'm just talking about our everyday responsibility of spreading the gospel and sharing that with lost people and allowing the Word of God to work in hearts and see people come to know Christ as Savior. Have we overlooked that? Are we so bound by our state that we are missing out on the ministry that Paul is arguing for here? And because the time is short, there's work that needs to be done. I think Paul is saying singleness creates looser ties with this world. Allows them to direct more attention to the immediate future of doing that kind of ministry. But I would also say to the married, you need to guard against neglecting the higher cause. I think it is very easy for married people to be so enraptured in their marriage. You may be here this year, you just got married this summer, and you are enraptured in that relationship, rightly so, but you can be so enraptured. You know, I like to put it this way. I think it is possible to be to love and to be involved in very good things in to a wrong degree. We can love good things too much. And we can grasp onto those things to such a degree that we neglect all the other responsibilities that God has given to us. And it's easy to get very enraptured in marriage and family to the point where we neglect our faithfulness to our local church. We neglect our responsibilities to the propagating of the gospel. We neglect the spiritual ministry that God has given to us. And Paul is warning of that. On the other hand, I think it's easy also to be so enraptured in ministry. And I see some who do this. They're so enraptured in ministry, they neglect their marriage. They neglect their family. There is a good balance here that Paul is calling for, and all of us in our gifted state need to find it. Marriage can very easily distract from the truth that we are actually pilgrims. And we get so hunkered down in marriage and family as though this is it. This is heaven. It must be very much like heaven, I would say, but it is not heaven. And So we need to be careful that we do not neglect the ministry while we're in the gift, in the state, or the gift that God has given to us. Now, I just want to make some concluding statements. My time is already gone, I think. But let me just some concluding thoughts. I wish I had more time to talk on these things. I want to just reiterate, both singleness and marriage is a gift. Thus, because it is, dating is certainly acceptable. Okay? Secondly, I would say this. Marriage is a gift. It's not a sin. Paul makes that very clear. So, then marriage is not just a remedy for some strong sexual passions that we have that are uncontrollable, or we choose not to control them. No, marriage was never intended for that. I don't think that's what Paul's talking about. I don't have time to develop what I think Paul is talking about here. I think he's talking about something much bigger than that. I would also say this, that strong sexual desires is not an excuse for discontentment or necessarily a right to pursue a life's mate. That is not what ought to drive it. I would also say this, that neither gift is necessarily permanent. Paul does not argue that. And that's very clear in Scripture. Those who were married ended up losing a spouse. There are a lot of people we find in the Bible who for a long time were not married and then they married. This is not a permanent gift, but you've got to live within your gift at the state in which you're at. And then lastly, I would say this. Because both are gifts, I think we need to see one another differently. We need one another. I could preach a whole message on this. We need singles. We need marrieds. None are second-rate citizens in God's plan. They are valuable to ministry. We need to encourage one another. We need to fellowship with one another. We need to be included in one another's lives. So I would say to all of us, married, single, and ministry, take your gift and use it in the way that God wants you to use it. Let's pray. Father, there's so much in this text. We've only just scratched the surface. But help us to take these truths and to learn how to apply them individually and then to learn how to apply them in a way that we actually are doing effective ministry and then in a way in which we are really encouraging one another and seeing one another as people who are gifted by you. In Jesus' name we pray.